Last Lord's Day, we began a vitally important study. In fact, it's eternally important, because we were asking the question, where shall I be in eternity? And our study began with the two possible places where we shall be in eternity, either hell, as we studied last Lord's Day, or as we want to continue today, with heaven. What a contrast. You know, Satan has had a lot of success during the history of mankind by getting our attention focused mainly on our desires for, note, temporary earthly pleasures and possessions. They're not lasting. They're not eternal. And notice with me James 1:14-15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. As we noted in the parable of the rich farmer, Luke 12:16-21. You remember, he said, take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But death came that very night. And then, whose possessions were they? Well, that's the point. We need to prepare for eternity. And note, as we continue our study this morning of this question, where shall I be in eternity? God votes for us. He sacrificed his only begotten Son. Satan votes against us as he tempts us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, who's going to cast the deciding vote? I am, and you are. So let's be sure we're preparing for eternity. And so we'll want to continue our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And as we noted, PFE helps us to remember to do that every day. Keep that in mind. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we are continuing our gospel meeting. Today is the last day of the meeting, and we want to be sure and invite you to join in with us today, as Brother Tom House, I'm sure he's done an outstanding job of preaching God's Word, even though I'm recording this before the meeting has begun. But I'm that confident. And our times of service, 9:30, the Bible class hour, will have a sermon. Then the worship service hour at 10:30, as we strive to worship God in spirit and in truth with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. And then a potluck lunch following our worship service hour. And then at 1 p.m., that will close out the gospel meeting. So please make your plans to join in with us and hear Brother Tom shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. Now, something else we want to mention. If you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. There you'll find our radio sermons going back a number of years and our bulletins with good sound articles. Let's get back to our study as we're asking this eternally important question, where shall I be in eternity? And to start out this morning, as we're going to contrast heaven with hell, as we covered last Lord's Day, we need to note that heaven is used in three different senses in the Bible. The first sense is the atmosphere where the birds fly and clouds form, Genesis 1:20. The second sense is the firmament where the sun, moon, planets, and stars are located, Genesis 1:16 through 18. And of course, our study is concerning the third sense, and that would be the holy habitation of God, 2 Corinthians 12:2. Now, since God dwells in heaven, that in itself should stir our hearts to want to be there with Him. Well, of course. Note Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Daniel 2:28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And Daniel, of course, was able to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream because God, who is in heaven, revealed it to him. Now, in the New Testament, we notice in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord and Savior stated in Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And in chapter 6, verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Mark 16:19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And we could just go on and on, but the point is, we should be desirous of being with God who is in heaven. The holy habitation of God should be everyone's quest and desire to be there with Him, of course. Now, I want us to notice this. If we do not have a desire and a yearning to be in heaven with God and the faithful, we can be assured that we will not be there. Well, no question about that. So how much do we really want to go to heaven? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, Matthew 5:6. So let's now discuss heaven. Heaven is the place of no more troubles. Life on this earth is full of troubles, Job 14:1. Psalm 88:3, my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. That doesn't sound too pleasant, does it? No more tragedies, though. No accidents. No more concern about when will the terrorists strike again, or other concerns that we have about, say, our children. No more pressures of this life. Heaven is a place of rest. Look at Revelation 14:13, one of the Beatitudes in Revelation. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And we note Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest. He also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We don't want to be like those during the days of Moses. who fell in the wilderness, and the children, as they grew up, entered into the promised land, the second generation. So that's an example to note. So we need to appreciate heaven as a place of rest. Heaven is the place of no more sickness. How many of us have health problems, some more serious than others? How many of our precious family members and, of course, members of the Lord's church have died with horrible diseases? But that didn't mean that God didn't love them. We're living in an environment where there has been a lot of sin going on since the time of Adam and Eve disobeying God and cast out of paradise. And from then on, there's been, yes, sickness, suffering in this world. God is not to blame. Oh, no. Paul, who had the gift of healing as an apostle, had a thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Paul prayed three times to God that it might depart from me. And God said what? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. What's Paul's reply after God said no to his prayers? And that's answering the prayers. Yes, God can answer them yes, no, and yes, but not now, at a later time. But God answered Paul's prayer in the negative. Paul then replies, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul realized he was stronger because he knew that he needed God. We need to be weak in that sense, knowing that we need God, and then we can be strong, no matter what illness we may have. But the point is, in heaven, there's no more sickness. Timothy had a stomach problem, remember? But he was not healed miraculously. 1 Timothy 5:23. There's going to be no more heart disease, thyroid problems, no more cancer, no more sugar diabetes. Some of us have that. No more blindness, paralysis, or other ailments of the body and even of the mind. Alzheimer's and dementia, how many of our loved ones have been diagnosed with these things? But heaven is a place of incorruptible spiritual bodies. What a marvelous contrast we're studying between heaven and hell. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Doesn't that give us a strong desire to want to be there on that great day of judgment, prepared to meet the Lord and have this change that we've just read about? But something else, heaven is a place of no more disappointments. How many times have we been let down by our loved ones, family members, our brethren? Perhaps we've let down our brethren and our family members and friends a time or two, have we not? How disappointed we are when our fellow man lies to us or cheats and mistreats us. How disappointed we are to see our brethren become unfaithful and to see our loved ones die outside the body of Christ. But let us note, God always keeps His promises, for God cannot lie, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Hebrews 6:18. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. Well, of course, the nature of God never changes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So in heaven there will be no one to let us down. And we go on. Heaven is the place of no more separations. How do we feel when our children grow up and move away? When we're separated from our loved ones, it leaves us longing to be together. In heaven there will be no more separations from loved ones. That is, the faithful. And there will be no more death. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Revelation 21:14, and God shall wipe away tears, all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So that brings us to the next point. Heaven is the place of no more tears. That's right. Excuse me. Sad, no more clearing the throat either, by the way. Sadness and sorrow cause the heart to grow heavy and tears come forth. Psalm 6, verse 6, notice. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. David was really crying here, was he not? Of course, that's hyperbole, but it gets the point across. Since there will be no more sadness, no more death, no more troubles, no more sickness, no more disappointments, there's no need to cry, as heaven will be eternal happiness. Yes, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, as we just noted in Revelation 21:14. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Yes, and there shall be no more death. We emphasize that. You know, so many are concerned with happiness on the earth that they're overlooking the most important happiness, which is eternal. Heaven, as we go on, is the place of no more darkness. Who wants to live like a mole in darkness? Have you ever been where you couldn't see the hand in front of your face? It's darkness you can feel. Hell is eternal darkness, as we studied last Lord's Day, because God's presence is not there. 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That's right. Now, we can only imagine the beauty of heaven. But in heaven, we will realize the awesome beauty and glory of being in the presence of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Of course it is. Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to be in His presence. The Holy Spirit, all three members of the Godhead. The angels of heaven, to meet Gabriel, Michael, archangels, and to see our loved ones, the faithful brethren in the Lord's church, the church of Christ. But let's go on. Heaven is the place of no more evilness. Satan and his followers rebelling against God produced evil. Adam and Eve brought evil into the garden when they sinned against God. They gave in to Satan's temptation. Eve did, but Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. Thus they both were cast out of the garden because of their sin against God. And they died spiritually right then and died physically, of course, later. But heaven is the place of no more evilness, no more Satan and his followers, no more temptations, no more false religions. No, only the true religion. That is being in the Lord's church. No more corrupt governments. No, oh boy. Isn't that something to talk about today with all the dirtiness in politics? But no more corrupt governments, no more worldliness, no more perversions, no more homosexuality, no more transgenderism, transvestitism, or whatever you want to talk about in perversions. No more abortions. There's no more sin. That's right, there's no more evilness. Heaven is the place of no more evilness. And in heaven we will see God visibly. Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. While in the flesh no man can look upon the face of God. Exodus 33:20, John 1:18, 1 John 4:12. What a glorious thought to be in God's presence forevermore. Yes, we've studied about heaven this morning, and it is a place of no mores as we covered those things. And those are things that certainly are hard to deal with in this life, but they won't be in heaven. Look at Revelation 3:21 with me for a moment. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Yes, the Holy Spirit speaking expressively to the seven churches of Asia. And this is what we need to appreciate. We need to overcome the situations we're having to deal with in this life. Surely it'll be worth it all. We sing the hymn, do we not? Surely heaven will be worth it all. Of course it will. And to sit with Christ in his throne. As Christ overcame temptation, he overcame death. Of course, God the Father raised him from the tomb on the third day. And now he's reigning on the throne with all authority, that is. So think about that verse. So we come again to our question that we have been asking these two Lord's days. Where shall I be in eternity? And again, God votes for us. Satan votes against us. And we must cast the deciding vote. I, Bob Hawkins, have to evaluate. What do I want most of all? And cast my deciding vote by living a life of following Christ. Yes, I cannot live a perfect life, oh no, as Jesus did. but I can strive to do my best to please God by keeping His commandments, really loving God as I should, loving the truth, loving my brethren, the church of Christ. Yes, I can decide to cast that vote in a proper way, or I can lose it all and be where for eternity? In the fires of hell, the darkness, the pain, continual suffering. Shouldn't be difficult to cast the proper vote here, because we need to note this: heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We've got to be prepared to meet the Lord on the day of judgment. Jesus said before He ascended up into heaven, John 14, 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I want to be there, don't you? We've seen this contrast between heaven and hell. Well, do I really want to go to heaven and be with God for eternity? What does my life say? That's going to say a lot, is it not? And so this morning, if you are not in a position of being saved from your sins, it's not too late to obey the gospel today. Come and be with us at our gospel meeting. We'll be glad to sit down with you and study further in a private setting. But we have to hear the truth. Our faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. We're motivated then, as we believe Christ is our Savior, who died on the cross in our place. We're motivated to repent of our sins and make a change of wills and do the will of God, getting out of a life of sin. Of course, Luke 13, 3 and 5, we must do that. Now, having repented of our sins, we're ready to make the good confession, stating, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God." As we note Romans 10, 9 and 10, it's unto salvation. Now we're ready, having confessed Christ before others, we're ready to be baptized for the purpose of the remission of our sins. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We come up out of that watery grave because our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. He then adds us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful, and we thank you so much for listening today.